Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's August the 22nd, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. The John Deere Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour is still in the field. We'll hear all the details from day two of the annual market-making event. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to help us take a look at what's been happening in the world of the agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural panels. Will be at the AgReliant Genetics Champaign Research Station. That's 5 miles west of 57 on Monticello Road. The meeting getting underway at 6:45 this evening. Panelists for the meeting include Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities, and Dan Zwicker of ADM. That's at the AgReliant Genetics Champaign Research Station, 5 miles west of 57 on Monticello Road. The meeting getting underway at 6:45. No advance registration is required, and the meeting is free. We hope to see you there.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. September wheat at $7.18.5, up 27 cents. December at 7.31¾, 27¾ higher for the day. September corn futures 3.47 up 9, rather 3.47½ up 9. December contract at 3.64¼, were up 9¼. And the March corn at $3.79, up 9 cents. December futures 2½ cents higher at $4.75. September soybean futures 8.31¼, 15½ higher. November beans at 8.47, up 16. January 16¼ higher at $8.61¾, and next year's November beans at $8.65½, up 13¾. September bean meal futures 229.20 up 6.80. September bean oil at 35.20. Up 28. The losses came at the Mercantile Exchange. The August contract at 92.27½ for the live cattle, 60 cents lower. October's were down 92.5 at 95.47½. August feeder cattle, 10 cents lower at 115.97.50. And the September's at 116.55 were down 72.5 cents. October lean hogs, 40 cents lower at $67.80 a hundredweight. From the crude oil, the October contract currently trading at $69.20 in the outside markets, down 37 cents. The CRB index at 300.68. That's up 0.91 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 13,183. And it's just about 93 points higher for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on this hot and humid Wednesday afternoon is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Almost on the edge of being unbearable, but a special tip of the hat last night on the wonderful job and the welcome mat that Terre Haute Grain extended out to us, and a nice turnout and a lot of nice compliments in the Wabash Valley, Todd, of the meeting last night.
You know, they got into that a little bit. It took a while. It was a bit warm for a bit. The air conditioner kicked on, and then there were an awful lot of questions that were asked last night, and they stuck around for a bit after the meeting. That's always a good sign.
You bet. And we enjoy visiting with them. And, you know, not only do we try to pass out good information, but we also like to talk and get reactions from the group.
You know, one of the things, especially down in that area, and as you go to the southern part of our listening area, south of I-70 and the Terre Haute area, there's a lot more wheat acres, and there may be a lot more wheat acres if this continues to climb. They gained, more than 27 cents today at 27¾, and the December nearby SEPs were up 27 at 7.18½. Is this going to buy wheat acres?
Well, I don't think it'll hurt anything. And, of course, India is going to possibly tender for more wheat. Commodity funds were in the marketplace for 4,000 contracts. The U.S. and Russia seems to be the only game in town as a supplier. You know, we talked about that in a lot of detail, and, of course, some wheat increase, we talked about rotation, we talked about the added income, but I don't think it's going to be like the wholesale push that we saw last year. It's pointed out that, the bean is a little more profitable on a per acre basis, but I do think we'll see more wheat acres. And it is interesting to see that Chicago wheat led Kansas City and also led Minneapolis wheat today. That was a pretty good statement that Chicago wheat is strong.
The other thing to keep in mind is that the harvest month, July of next year, while the nearby SEPs and the December and the March are all well above $7, the May contract at $6.86.5, the harvest month, July, at just $5.90 a bushel. So it's not really calling for wheat for next year at all, is it?
Well, historically, there was a lot of wheat raised in the United States at $3, $3.50, and, of course, last year, $4 sent a large, pretty big signal to plant more wheat. And now it's definitely over the $5, mark in a big way. So it is encouraging wheat. There is expense to planting wheat, and, of course, nitrogen fertilizer, the seed, and also some of the bad experiences of winter kill. But at the same time, it is a good rotation crop and a fill-in crop, and particularly with dryness. Historically, there is people planting wheat after a major drought that's occurring in the south part of our listening area.
What are you hearing from the John Deere Pro Farmer Crop Tour? We'll get details on that a bit later in the program, but what's coming through your news services?
Well, near as I can tell, there's some areas that are good, but the word variable is definitely apparent, and I don't get the feeling that it's the big bin buster corn crop that the USDA is talking about, and I think the bean crop does seem to have a potential at least coming in smaller than the 41.5 bushel mark. The weather people did talk about some rain chances in the south half of Illinois and the north part of the Delta this weekend, and of course that will be helpful, but definitely from our soybean friends last night, from the observations that the soybean crop in Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, and Delta has been hurt, and hurt drastically, Todd, and our hearts go out to them because it's tough to see a beautiful crop just not blossom into a big crop.
Indeed it is. Soybeans gaining 15.5 cents today on some of that not-so-good weather. Corn gaining 9 cents. Is that the rainfall in Iowa and Minnesota and, I guess, now parts of Ohio there?
That, and then what happens if we don't have the bin buster crop the USDA was talking about? And also we're starting to get the impression that the basis levels, both on corn and soybeans, at the Gulf have improved. Mexico, Japan, North Africa. There was even a story in the China news that their crop possibly is 10% smaller due to drought and flooding. And as a result of that, corn with this added export because of feed substitution to the EU on wheat, feed wheat, the market just acted marvelous. And there was some talk about resistance at the 360 level. That was a push. And your point well taken. Heavy rains in Iowa this afternoon and 2 to 3 inch rains on top of those heavy, wet fields. There'll be some muddy feet, muddy shoes, muddy cars going through those fields in northern Iowa and Minnesota the next day or so.
I suppose we ought to talk about December 08 corn. $4.75 the settlement price, so it finished above $4 at this point. When is it that you think producers ought to start looking at, if they haven't already, making new crop sales for 2008?
Well, we're using the magic $4 cash price as an opportunity. We also talked about that last night. You know, when is the marketplace going to bid up for new crop acres? Because that's a function of the market to do that. Kay and Wayne basically said the Feb-March time frame. I talked to a cash merchandiser this morning, and he says earlier than that even. My general impression is with high fertilizer prices, $3.50 will definitely send a signal of smaller acreage, $4 or more acres, or at least the same amount of acres, and I think they're going to keep the seed corn companies guessing right up until planting date and planting weather to make that decision, just like they did this year. It costs a lot of money to raise corn, and with the yield variability, some will prosper a great deal with this corn crop this year, and others will kind of say, you know, I'm going to change and go back to the rotation.
And finally, and I was amiss when we went through the wheat market, just as a final notation, the lead option wheat made a record all-time high today.
You know, it is an epic road to higher prices, and this is creating history, Todd. And $7 is a pretty expensive commodity. And then when you add transportation costs, some of the wheat delivered to Europe, for example, is over $10 a bushel. So that is a pricey commodity.
We appreciate you being with us.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
Hey, you too. That's Paul Cooley with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own AM580 Ed Kieser says tonight across the two-state region in the north, it'll be mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy and muggy. Lows will range from 66 this evening in the far northwestern part of Illinois to 76 in some of the city centers. In fact, a flash flood watch is in effect for extreme northwestern Illinois that through Thursday afternoon. An excessive heat warning in effect for the metro east of St. Louis through 7 o'clock Thursday. And a heat advisory is in effect for southeastern Indiana that from noontime today right on through midnight Friday evening. Tomorrow now in the north, a mix of clouds, some sunshine, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the two-state region. Elsewhere, mostly sunny, hot, and humid. Highs will range from 84 in the far northwestern part of Illinois to around 100 in the south. The extended forecast calls for periodic showers possibly in the northern areas through Friday, with mostly dry weather expected in central and southern sections. A cold front will slowly push southward Friday night and Saturday, and that'll trigger some widespread showers and thunderstorms that'll end the latest round of heat and humidity. A pro farmer concluded scouting of Nebraska fields last night, and what did they see in that state on the crop tour? Pro farmer editor Chip Flory, who leads the western leg of the tour, says USDA increased the Nebraska corn crop by 10.5% in August, and he says the pro farmer is right in line with that, projecting production will be up 8.5%.
The main thing that we saw that drove that number up from a year ago was a much, much better dry land corn crop. The irrigated corn in the state is a fairly consistent, fairly constant number. You know you're going to get irrigated corn yields in Nebraska. But the number that really kind of moves that Nebraska corn yield needle back and forth is the dry land yields. If you can get a dry land yield in the 130 to 140 bushel range, that's a home run for dry land corn production in this state. And I think that's what we're looking at.
With a million more acres in Nebraska this year, that means more corn on corn acres. Yet Flory says the yields are holding their own.
Because Nebraska corn growers have been growing corn on corn on corn for a lot of years. It was just recently that they really started to work soybeans into the crop rotation. You know, you go back to 1998, really, was the first year that we saw a big explosion in the bean acres in Nebraska. Since that time, they've continued to build up their bean crop. They've continued to do a better job of growing soybeans in the state. And as a result of that, beans are competing very favorably with corn out here until this last year when the market was really giving the incentive to plant corn.
Flory says whether the crop tour yield estimates are on either side of the trend line, the U.S. will be dealing with a huge corn crop this year.
13 billion bushels is a pretty solid number for this year's crop. It seems like if we're going to handle a 13 billion bushel corn crop, we're going to be using a lot of temporary storage, and the use of that temporary storage is never a positive for basis. Guys don't like to store corn outside. So I think basis is going to be under some heavy pressure this fall. Instead of trading in a typical 30-35 cent national average, we might be seeing a national average basis of 55-60 cents under. So we're going to see some extreme pressure on basis this fall.
And Flory says he expects a four-crop battle for acres in 2008.
Corn has to hold on to at least 93 million acres to keep up with the demand base that's growing out there. Soybeans cannot repeat what they did in 2007 and plant just 64 million. We need to have 4, 5, maybe even 6 million more acres planted to soybeans in 2008. Now, wheat, with the high price that's out there, it's getting plenty of incentive to increase wheat acres, and cotton is starting to perk up just a little bit. So we've got this battle in place. Who's going to win? I'm not sure. We're going to have to let the market sort it out, but one of those markets is going to get left out, and I'm not sure which one it's going to be at this point, but there is going to be a battle. I think it's going to be led by soybeans, and I think it'll probably get started before we really get heavy into harvest this year. Market might just be waiting for that September crop production report to get a better handle on how much cushion the corn crop's going to have and how far down we're going to draw that soybean carryover for the 2008-09 marketing year. Once we get a better handle on that, I think soybeans start to get pretty aggressive in bidding for acres.
The pro farmer analyst says the markets are now in a period of extreme volatility.
The volatility is going to remain in place. Our price highs are going to be higher. Our price swings are going to be wider, and it's going to take longer to complete those price swings. So this explosion in volatility just means that we're going to have some really great pricing opportunities. You throw in the acreage battle that I think is going to be led by soybeans. Corn won't get left behind. Wheat's already leading the way, you know, and participating in a fight for acres. And don't be surprised if cotton doesn't perk up and try to get some acres back, too.
The western leg of the crop tour continues today as scouts cover the western 40% of Iowa. The eastern leg of the John Deere Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour departed from Anderson, Indiana yesterday. And then scouts on that eastern leg made their way all the way to Bloomington, Illinois. Mark Bernard, a consultant and agronomist with Pro Farmer, provides an overview of what the scouts on the eastern leg saw during the day two of the tour.
Well, we saw a lot more variety of insect pressure, but really not a lot of heavy pressure as such. More aphids, of course. We had a little healthier soybeans. They don't seem to like the hot, dry conditions like what we experienced yesterday over in Ohio. A few more of the bean leaf beetles this time around. Not quite so many of the Japanese beetles, although they were present in just about every field. There were some white flies. As some of the agronomists here pointed out tonight, you open that canopy up and they just boil out of there. And it's a debate as to whether they're a problem or not. I don't think at this point they probably really are as advanced as the stage of this crop is.
Bernard says while beetles are getting noticed, they may not be as concentrated this year as in some.
I'd say there's certainly one that's gotten more people's attention, and there's certainly one that is becoming more and more prevalent as we've been on this crop tour anyway. Whether or not they're reaching threshold levels, I guess that's the debate. And I'd have to say this year, actually, the numbers are not as heavy as they've been some years. So I'm not that concerned about them at this point.
When the group gathers in the evening, they talk with local farmers to learn more about the practices being implemented in the area covered during the day.
Well, we've been asking in particular about things like fungicide application, and tonight we saw, you know, it looked like about half the people raised their hands on the corn side anyway, I'm sure. And it's evident out here in the field that they've been doing something, because if you go by some of these fields with a sign on them that are grass green that have been sprayed with a fungicide, and the one across the road is pretty well showing signs of some fungal pressure out there. So that in particular is real interesting. Insecticide applications the same way. Quite a few people tonight had sprayed for spider mite, for soybean aphid. Not so many for spider mite.
Bernard, who hails from Minnesota, discusses the agronomic conditions in his area after the recent heavy rains.
Well, we've talked with some of our clientele, and we've talked with some of our employees, too, and you know, we've had between 6 and 9 inches of rain, and it's a mess. It's not going to help us on the soybean disease end of things in particular. We'll probably see more white mold as a result, and we're probably not going to see maybe as high a test weight on some of this corn as it finishes up as a result of the wet weather. That can tend to knock that down a little bit.
The crop consultants and scouts on the eastern leg will make their way from Bloomington to Iowa City today and then on into southern Minnesota tomorrow. We'll be right there with them as the John Deere Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour continues all this week.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Time now for our Wednesday look at the cash grain market. Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Thanks much for having me into Graham Grain last night. Appreciated all your hospitality. The barbecue was great, and so was the marketing meeting from my point of view.
I've had a lot of compliments today, Todd. We appreciate your coming over, and we have a very good turnout. 50 people, when there was a lot of other meetings around, to me was quite the success story.
Not a bad thing at all. Tell me about basis and what you saw today in the marketplace.
The basis is ill-defined here today, Todd. We're getting a lot of corn in down south, and so train values for the September time slot and the nearby have slipped probably 8 to 9 cents, and even our people in Omaha don't seem to know where they are. But there's no doubt they are starting to slip it a little bit, so we may see some of these premiums for early corn start to disappear. Other than that, bean basis is holding steady, and the board was really did a really good job today. It pulled some corn out of the country. I bought some spot and some new crop through January. So, yeah, we did good today, and I think most of it's based on technicals and the weather.
Yeah, when you say corn down south, you're talking about actually harvest down south, right?
Yes, I am, yeah.
What are you hearing from them? What kind of yields are they getting?
Well, three of our elevators reported earlier this week, and I haven't talked to them since then, that they were getting some early corn in between 18 and 21%, but test weights were very, very low, 52 to 53 pounds. So I haven't heard anything since then, but it looks like they are getting some corn in there, and that's the only reason I can think of for these basis values to slip, because there's sure not much out in the country, that's for sure.
You know, one final question. I don't know whether you will remember these. I bet you can get close. Last night you told us what prices were a year ago. Could you give us those and maybe your bids for the day both, if you remember?
Let's see. A year ago yesterday, I remember we were $2.93 in wheat. We were $1.96 in corn and, I believe, $5.23 on beans.
And what are your bids for the day?
Okay. Our cash corn today is $3.49, cash beans $7.82, cash wheat is $6.34.
That sounds a lot better.
It sure does.
All right. Thanks much, Kay.
Thank you, Todd.
Hey, Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner about the world weather, from World Weather, actually, about the agricultural weather forecast. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A federal judge in Chicago has ruled that former Illinois Governor George Ryan will have 4 business days to report to prison if his request for a new hearing is turned down. His attorneys are trying to get his case a rare hearing before the entire panel of 11 federal appellate judges. The judge agreed to let Ryan remain free on bond while his attorneys file their request. But if they don't get the hearing, or if the appellate judges let the current conviction stand, Judge Rebecca Pallmeyer ruled that Ryan would have to go to prison. Negotiators will meet with a federal mediator tonight to help teachers in the Fisher School District iron out contract differences. A spokesman for the Illinois Education Association hopes a deal can be worked out tonight in Fisher, saying only one issue separates the two sides. Three other area school districts reached tentative contracts agreement with their teachers' unions either yesterday or this morning. Mohammed Seymour teachers and support staff are meeting this afternoon to consider the agreement reached after a marathon bargaining session that lasted well into this morning. Tentative agreements were also reached in the Oakwood and Jamaica districts. The University of Illinois says it has canceled a contract between its Police Training Institute and military contractor Blackwater USA. U of I spokeswoman Robin Kaler says the contract was completed before the university knew that Institute Director Tom Dempsey was also negotiating personal business with Blackwater at the time. Blackwater provides security forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. The U of I and Blackwater were to exchange faculty, work with each other's students, and conduct research. Agricultural processor Archer Daniels Midland says it's offered buyouts to about 40 managers as it reorganizes its operations. Most are members of upper management. The Decatur company says it will also take a charge to cover the cost of the reorganization. An official says the company doesn't know how many managers will lose jobs and has no target in mind. ADM's creating a single operations group in charge of the company's origination, merchandising, processing, and marketing. The commissioner of the Indiana Department of Environmental Management says his agency felt no undue pressure from state economic officials to approve a permit needed by BP for its multi-billion-dollar Whiting refinery expansion. IDEM is facing scathing criticism over its approval of the permit that allows BP to increase pollution discharges into Lake Michigan. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, it's hot. I guess it's going to be really hot for at least a couple of days here. Is that right?
That's right. At least taking us into Friday, depending on where you are in the eastern Midwest, probably the lower parts of the region won't get any relief through Friday. Some of the northern areas will start seeing some break in the precipitation on Friday. Temperatures back into the 80s, upper 80s, and then in some northern and central areas, we'll probably see 90s in the south, extremes over 100 again from parts of Missouri into southern Illinois and western Kentucky. We did get that healthy set of thunderstorms move through central and eastern portions of Kentucky last night, so that area has been eased, but the rest of that lower Midwest is certainly hurting for moisture, and it's going to continue doing so for a while. A frontal boundary in the western Corn Belt that will be responsible for producing some flooding rainfall over the next 3 days will break down as it tries to come into the eastern Midwest. We'll end up seeing some locally strong thunderstorms in northern Illinois and over into parts of Michigan, but the tail end of that particular frontal system will likely fall apart this weekend and offer only a few brief showers to the driest areas in the lower parts of the Midwest. And that will likely end up resulting in a little bit of a cool-off by maybe about 5 degrees or so for the lower parts of the Midwest, maybe a little bit greater in the north, and an opportunity for some relief from dryness, but none of the precipitation is going to be great enough to really help crops for more than a few hours or a day at the most. Another frontal system and a change in fundamental weather will occur next week, changing our flow pattern to a northwesterly one, bringing cooler air out of Canada, will offer the best opportunity for relief in all aspects of weather next week. The cooler air will move through the western Corn Belt, producing some more hefty rainfall early in the week, and as it comes into the eastern Midwest, the odds are going to be fairly good that we'll finally get an organized rain event to take place from Missouri into parts of southern Indiana and southward into the Delta in the southeastern states. It may not be a big, heavy soaker, but we will get organized rainfall that will definitely ease the dryness, and certainly the heat will go away, and that should be the end of it for quite a little while.
The radars have been a bit deceiving, I think, because what you see in the evenings and the daytime is an awful lot of blue across a large portion of the Midwest, but most of that just feedback and not actually rain that's hitting the ground in the southern part of that area, is it?
That's exactly right. And most of the atmosphere is just so extremely dry right now. It's going to take a little bit of a rain event just to moisten the atmosphere before we can actually generate rain that will reach the ground. And I think that's what will happen this weekend. We'll get a little disturbance passing through that will help to inject a little bit of moisture to the atmosphere so that when the cold air comes down next week, that we might do a little better job generating real rain.
And then while we've had some really dry areas to the south, you talked a little bit about rainfall continuing in the northern parts of the Midwest and northern Illinois, parts of Michigan. I know parts of Ohio have been awfully wet. Some of those places are actually under a flash flood watch at this point.
That's right. And the impressive rains that have occurred over the last 2 weeks are certainly warranting those flood watches. I believe portions of interior northern Ohio have seen anywhere from 5 to 10 inches. There's been 3 to 6-inch rains across northern Indiana. And back further to the west, of course, the rains have been even more horrendous, with parts of Wisconsin and southern Minnesota and northeastern Iowa reporting anywhere from 5 to 15 inches just in the last 2 weeks alone. And any rain that falls across any of these areas over the next 5 to 7 days will likely generate some additional flash flooding, if nothing else. But we are expecting some pretty serious river and stream flooding to occur in the western Corn Belt.
We appreciate you being with us.
Have a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for a first look at the markets. And don't forget to visit our website at WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.